Thanks for joining us today. You're listening to Laugh Again with Phil Calloway.
I spoke to college students recently on money. I guess they assumed I had some. I told them I did. I'm set for life, I said, as long as I die by Friday. A four-year-old asked his mom, "What happens when you die?" She said, "You go to be with Jesus." He said, "No, I mean when you die, do I get your stuff?" Money. The Bible mentions money or possessions about 2,000 times. In the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells his young protege, Timothy, that when it comes to money, followers of Jesus should be characterized by three things: contentment, trust, and generosity. Godliness with contentment, he said, is great gain. Contentment. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote, "It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness." You know, we arrive on this planet in our birthday suits, and we'll leave Earth the same way, without a single stitch of clothing, naked. Sure, the Undertaker may dress us up, but we won't take it with us. Recently, archaeologists discovered the 5,500-year-old tomb of a noblewoman stocked with ceramic jars of honey, still sweet to the taste. But the deceased didn't take them with her, nor can we. America's Got Talent judge Simon Cowell was asked what he wanted more than anything. He said, "More money. As much money as I can get my hands on." The interviewer said, "But you're worth $600 million. Isn't that enough?" "No," he said, "it isn't enough. And it never is. Deep down, we know money won't make us rich, make us happy, buy us love, or buy what it used to. Still, we chase it. And never has a generation been so bombarded with what it does not have." A friend with perfect hair takes 35 pictures of her kids at the perfect dinner out and posts one of them. One! Her kids are smiling, seated alphabetically according to height. And you know the only way your kids will sit this still is if you glue their pants to their chairs. A friend posts another selfie from the gym. Rippling abs. Meanwhile, you're knee-deep in a tub of peanut butter ice cream with chocolate chunks. Comparison is the enemy of contentment. And researchers agree, the more time you stare at a screen, the less likely you are to be content. The cure? Celebrate moment by moment what God has given you. Do you have enough food? Millions don't. Are you wearing clothes? Sorry, that's personal. But do you sleep under a roof? Focus not on what you do not have, but on what God has blessed you with. An attitude of gratitude is the antidote to discontent. A devout Quaker watched his new neighbor move in all the latest appliances, furniture, gadgets, and wall hangings. He shouted a warm welcome, then said, "If you find you're lacking anything, let me know and I'll show you how to live without it." A commercial pilot often flew over a certain valley and looked down intently on it. His co-pilot finally asked, "What's so interesting about that spot?" "See that stream?" the pilot pointed. "When I was a kid, I sat down there on a log and fished. Every time a plane flew over, I would look up and wish I was flying. And now I look down and wish I was fishing." Contentment. It's a greater blessing than riches, isn't it? Remember that tomorrow comes fast and today won't last. So practice contentment right now. Take stock of what you're grateful for. You'll lose sight of what you lack. And don't compare. A friend told me he was working out. "Oh, yeah." I said, "I haven't been to the gym this week." That makes 8 years in a row. A little boy wrote, "Dear Santa, 3 boys live at my house. Jeffrey is 2, David 4, and Norman 7. Jeffrey and David are good some of the time, and Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman." Well, how good to know whatever kind of year we've had, God is still with us. That's the promise of Christmas that brings joy and hope. From the Calloway house to yours, a very blessed Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. Laugh Again, truth bringing laughter to life.